about that, of course, is that that is not just something that's true for you and I as we stand here in the room, individually singing, but it's true for us as a body, as a congregation of people joined together as the body of Christ. We stand together in all of what God has done, trusting Him. What can we do but surrender it all to Him? Great to be here today. Great to be around the tables. It's kind of like a family spirit. That's good, because today's message, quite honestly, is a message for, it is a message about this family of God that we call Streams of Hope Church, how God has walked with us, how He is currently leading us. I don't know how many times I've heard my wife explain to people over the years when we would share a testimony or we would share about something we were doing in God's name, and people would say, how do you know God's going to come through? And I don't, she just again and again would say, well, because God did this, and God did that, and God did that, and I have every reason to trust Him for the future. It's like kind of what happened in the life of David, right? I mean, he started out, he had to deal with some little animals, you know, just a bear, before he got around to slaying the lion, before he got around to slaying Goliath. You build on that walk with God. And that's really a story of our lives, of our story of our life together. What does it mean to walk with God on the basis of, get this, His faithfulness. His faithfulness. His mighty deeds, as the Bible calls them. You know, we recite the mighty deeds of God. We see how God has provided for us in the past, how God has led us in the past, how He has never abandoned us in the past, how He has challenged us and stretched us and grown us in the past. And that's going to help us, if we can look back accurately at that, that helps us to interpret where we are today and where we are going with God as a community of faith. Now, if you've been around Streams of Hope for long, you've heard us use this phrase and talk about the things that we call our bedrock beliefs. I mean, we've had sermons on them. We print them on the website. It comes up on the very first page. It's in our Constitution. We print them in the bulletin from time to time. And I've asked them to throw them up on the screen for us this morning, because they really come out as we tell our story. Our individual stories of our walk with God, our stories from walking together as a congregation. And in case you don't remember them all, here they are. Yes? Almost there. Almost there. Okay, well, I'm going to give you the first one while they're working on it. And hey, by the way, I gave them this stuff this morning, so they are working on all the notes that I asked them to. Here we go. Our first one is, God loves me, you, and everyone. And we're convinced of this because of Jesus. Not fancy, not big long words in Latin or Greek, just simple. God loves us. Thank goodness for that. God's forgiveness is our only hope. You can't do anything on your own. You can't go out and buy something. You can't work it up yourself. You can't deserve it or earn it. It's God's forgiveness. But the good news is His power can rescue you from anything. It doesn't matter what happens. God can do it. You need to know He's going to do it because He loves you and because He created you and your life matters. You're not a nobody. You're not a nothing. We aren't a mega church, but we aren't nothing in God's eyes. God loves us. He made us. He has a great plan for us. Our life matters. And His plan for us is good. Jeremiah 29:11, right? God has a plan to give us a future and a hope, He goes on to say. Planned for our good, not for bad, but for our good. That God's presence is the greatest joy of all. Now, the reason we worship God, one of the reasons we worship God, is to give Him all the glory and honor and praise He deserves. Another reason we worship God is because as we give Him that praise, our hearts are filled with joy, because that's what we were created to do, is to give Him praise. And so to come into His presence and worship Him is a great joy for us as well. And then the last one that we list is God is faithful. Great is God's faithfulness. It's a great, great just way of summing up those things that matter to us. Now, you're all very smart people here, and if you look at those things, some of you jotted those down again. Can you throw them back up there for me? Can you back hit the reverse key for me? There we go. these statements, these bedrock beliefs, these are not everything that we believe theologically about God or Jesus or the Bible or the second coming. It's not a precise indicator of everything that we think or believe about God. We're not trying in our bedrock beliefs to create a comprehensive statement of everything that's true about God. Here's what we did. When we set out to write our bedrock beliefs, we set out to explain who we are as a church, how we have experienced God in our lives and in our life together. So we wrote our vision statement. We said something like this. We said, our vision is for a congregation where lives are transformed, not by our efforts, but by the refreshing flow of God's grace. If we just get in what God's doing, transformation happens. We worked on our mission statement, and we said, you know what? Our mission is simply this. We want to tear down barriers, and we want to build bridges. I mean, that really sums up what our mission is. And then we said, our bedrock beliefs are not a lot of fancy, theologically worded ideas, but they're a simple statement. They are the songs that sing out of our hearts. They are the cries that come out in our anguished prayers. They are the words of comfort that we offer to one another in times of struggle. That's what our bedrock beliefs are. The expressions of our faith within this particular faith community as we're walking together with God and with each other. And what the reason we put this on our website and our constitution, we tell people about it, is because we want you to hear this. And those of you who are contemplating the new members' orientation, you need to understand, we're saying if you join this church and commit to walk together with us, you're going to experience the ups and downs of life together with us, and very likely in those moments, the ups or the downs, you're going to hear us say stuff like this to you. And when we're in our ups and downs, we're counting on you saying stuff like that to us, because this is how we've experienced God, how we encourage one another, how we strengthen one another, how we comfort one another. And we try to keep them simple and in everyday language because, you know what, when I really need you to speak a word of comfort to my heart that God is faithful, I don't need you to quote a 4 or 5 sentence Bible verse. I don't need you to give me the 1862 London Confession statement on hope based on the eschaton. I need you to say to me, God is faithful. He's been faithful in our past. He's going to be faithful to you in the midst of this struggle. These are our bedrock beliefs. Now, in the light of that, I started thinking, and I thought, maybe we ought to talk a little bit about if we were to do this exercise today, based on the past 3 or 4 years, because this was done in 2008, what would be some of the bedrock beliefs that would emerge? And we'd still hang on to all these, but there are just some that I would say have kind of come out of our experience together. And it's important to know because it's not just a matter of finding a cute sounding phrase. I don't like to talk about my age too much, but I was in high school in the 70s and college in the 80s. And one of the ways we expressed ourselves in those days was with posters, right? Let's see if y'all can remember some of these. These are brilliant. Love means you never have to say you're sorry. Oh, yeah, there's a pearl. There's a pearl. Here's one. If it's to be, it's up to me. Get out there and make it happen. And this was my favorite. I think every girlfriend, boyfriend, when they broke up, they had this one up. If you love something, set it free. Yeah, let it go. Set it free. If it comes back to you, it's yours. If it doesn't, it never was. Yeah. Yeah. I see some of y'all despise that as much as I did. You know, you kind of liked it when you were doing the one breaking up, but if you were on the other end, it kind of sucked. You know, it really wasn't what you wanted to hear. Now, I want to say this about those sayings. They actually may have some truth and some utility in some limited setting. I'm sure that's why somebody made a poster out of them. But you may remember what we're talking about are bedrock things, universal truths that you can count on forever. And Jesus, when he prayed for you in John 17, when he prayed for me in John 17, here's what he said. Father, Help them to know your word, because your word is truth. So we're going to base our bedrock beliefs, the ones we've already got, they already have a scripture attached to them, and these ones that I've been kind of chewing on, I kind of want to put out there for you today to kind of think about our ongoing journey together based on the word of God, these biblical ideas and phrases that maybe reveal how God is working and leading in us today and connect to our journey of the past several years. Now, I'm telling you all of this, and you're smart people, you're not fools, so you understand that what I'm saying to you is in a way prelude to our annual congregational meeting that we're going to have today after the service. We're going to have this opportunity to give people at the close of the service, you know, we'll take a few minutes, people who aren't staying will have a chance to leave, and kids will come back in and join parents, and we'll all gather around tables, and then we'll go out and get in the line and get some food, and then we'll come back in, and I want everybody to remember, we're all hosts today, so at your table, show great hospitality to somebody else. You know, if you see somebody needs a place to sit, or if you see somebody sitting at a table alone, get them in there with you, and let's show great hospitality to one another. And then what's going to happen is, after everybody's been served and we're sitting around the tables, we're going to have our staff presentations. They're going to use video and sound. We'll be doing that for you. We'll make good use of the time while we're around the tables. Then after that, we'll take a second to kind of clear up from lunch a little bit. And then what we're going to do is move on to the other business. We have officers to elect, elders and deacons to elect. We have financial reports, business. And I know what you all are waiting to hear is the report from our combination start team, MET team. They have a double assignment. They'll be reporting back to you on all those things to help us finish our day. Now, it's not my desire today to bore anybody here with a reciting of the facts, but what I want us to do is a part of our Bible study today, part of our bedrock beliefs examination, kind of updating, is to kind of recount part of our story along with it. This whole relocation process we've been in, y'all know how long it's been? In 2003, there was a leadership retreat, and that's where all the trouble started. And so that's how long ago it started. 2005 that the church voted unanimously to sell and relocate. 2005. So it's been 10 years that the whole church family has been up to their necks in this. Somebody might very intelligently say, how did that all start? Well, there's a lot to it, but the seminal moment comes out of that leadership gathering where a committee was gathered at a layperson's house, who is now a pastor of this church. We were over at the Moutsos' house. They had hosted the event. And as they were kind of debriefing the meeting and talking about where God was leading the church, it was their expression to their pastor. And I want to understand, there was great leadership from the body. As in prayer and in thought and reflection, this body of leaders who said, you know, Pastor, really think that God is leading us to take some big and bold next steps. We need to expand. We need to shake things up. We need to rebuild. We need to reshape the facility, but also the church family. We got some stuff we need to do. And that's how it all started. And lest anyone have forgotten what it was like in Egypt, may I take just a moment to say that the reason they made this proposal was because it was absolutely necessary. We were in a place that had been built in the 50s in three different phases. Well, the sanctuary was completed in the 60s. It gives you some insight to know that on the original drawings of the sanctuary that we used there in Wheaton, there was no AC. It was invented and installed there at the kind of the last minute. The sanctuary was completed in 67, but the room that was supposed to be the men's and women's restrooms became the AC room. Down there on the bottom floor, if you remember the ramp of that building, that big AC room was supposed to have been bathrooms. So if you ever wonder why the bathrooms seemed a little inconveniently located to the fellowship hall, it's because somebody figured out in 1966 that air conditioning was probably going to be a wave of the future. And so, Marie, was that your idea? Did you figure that out? Okay, thank you. Thank you, Marie. She was there. Now, I say that because now fast forward with me till 2002, this time of year, August 2002. We were preparing to say goodbye to Pastor Steve and Cindy Abbey and their family. They were going back to Texas to start a church, and we were ordaining Pastor Cindy on this last Sunday they were with us. And it was not like today. It was a scorcher. I mean, it was out of like close to 100 degrees outside. And on this day, you know what happened, right? AC broke. For the 100th time, you know, most Sunday mornings, like we do here, we start with prayer. But in there, it was always near the AC room. So we could lay hands. No, not really. But we prayed every week that in the summertime that the AC unit was going to work. It was the original one from 67. I mean, it was the size of a minivan. I'm not kidding you, the motor. And I mean, that thing made a noise louder than 10 minivans. And so we would just pray. Listen, that building gave us some real challenges. And a part of this group said, you know, Pastor, we need to fix the building. We need to expand the building. We need to make some changes. And so we got ready to do that. And then we lost all the parking and all the renovation of Wheaton Plaza Mall. And some of y'all know the story. It's not my point to go through every detail. But that all came to inform our process. And we said, you know what? We are receiving tremendous offers on this property. We're going to sell and relocate. And so we began the process. And while we were searching for land to relocate to, we were approached by a sister church. And they said, we'd like to talk to you about coming over here and merging with us. Now, it wasn't too far away. We liked the idea. We liked the idea of staying in that part of the county, a little further south, working in a more urban, multicultural area. It really suited well with us. And as we continued that conversation, and I'm not calling their name because they're fine people and they're a fine church and they still exist today. I got no stones to throw. But what we discovered as we had the merger conversation with them was that we had some pretty key differences. And the biggest one had to do with the freedom for women to pursue God's calling as deacons and elders and pastors, however God might lead. Oh, they had some challenges with their building. We could have fixed those. We had money for that. The people had been through in that church, had been through some drama and trauma with a staff explosion that was pretty spectacular. But we understood that hurts for a while, but you can work through that. We all knew we could do that together. But this issue about women turned out to be the theological and church practical deal breaker in that conversation. And here's what I learned from that I think we discovered is a simple way of putting a bedrock belief. And here it is. The first one I want to put forward to you is just always remember who you are. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 puts it this way. Beloved, what manner of love the Father. Behold it. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called, and that word should be children. You're in the wrong translation for me, brother, back there. Because the word is actually children of God. Sons and daughters of God. Let me say that again. He called us to be the children of God, sons and daughters. And there's a song that speaks to that. Some of y'all know which song I'm talking about. I want to give just a little brief clip. We're here around the table family style. Are we good to go with the clip, Clark? Is it all right? Let's run that for just a second. Just give you a verse of this. I know some of y'all know this well. I want you to absorb the words of it in addition to the music.
Praise to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our God and our King. To him we will sing. In his great mercy he has given us life. Now we can be called the children of God.
Now, I don't want anybody, closing off any opportunity I have to bear witness of the joy I have as a son of God. And I don't want anybody closing off the opportunity for any female to be able to declare, I'm a daughter of God. So for us, remembering who we are, we said, you know, and to their credit, they realized it was in us. They realized we were not going to bend before we did. We called off that approach of merging with them. So after that, we said, you know what, now let's find some property. So we'd been looking that whole time. It was hard. It was a difficult search. And while we were searching for land, you know, we put in an offer. We found some land. And while we're doing that, the real estate market tanked. And this $12 million offer that we had on the property became a $4.5 million offer on the property, which we did not accept, by the way. Don't anybody panic. And we had to work and fight. And the greatest fight that we had, you know who it was with? Ourselves. Because we tend, in those kinds of difficult times, to give in to our fears and our anxieties. And so I want to say that I think maybe a second bedrock belief we'd have out of this period of time is simply these words, fear not. Fear not. Now, some people say that there are 365 places in the Bible where it says fear not. That is inaccurate, but it's still true. It does not say the words fear not, but there are over 365 places in the Bible where it teaches you how not to walk in fear. And I've asked a bunch of brothers and sisters here in the church to help me with these. So if you got one of those passages, I want you to stand up. Should be 7 or 8 or 9 of you. I'm going to grab a couple of microphones. I got white and blue, Clark. Okay? On and on. And let me give this one to this side of the room. Y'all can pass it around. I'll call out your reference, and you'll know whose turn it is. You're probably last, but I'll give you a heads up about that. I want you just to hear some of the verses as we talk about dealing with fear from your own brothers and sisters, verses that have given us strength at different times on dealing with our fear. So, Ron, if you'll go first, Isaiah, right?
Yes. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
Amen. Would you pass that to Blynn? I think, Blynn, you got the Philippians passage?
Yes.
Please.
Okay, Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guide your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus.
I want you to respond with me to that. I want you to say the words, fear not. Fear not. Okay. Third one. Now, Marie, if you would, write Psalm.
Yes. Psalm 56.
Blynn, help her with that microphone while she's reading her paper there.
Psalm 56:3. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you.
God is saying to us, fear not. Fear not. Okay. 2 Timothy. I think it's Jimmy behind you. Right there, right? 2 Timothy, please, Jimmy.
2 Timothy 1:7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control.
God says, fear not. Okay. Next passage, Matthew 6. Who's got that one? Who's got Matthew 6?
That would be me.
That's you. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Matthew 6:25-34. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these.
Thank you, Lisa. What a great word. God says, fear not. See, don't be anxious. Don't worry. Psalm 34. Who has Psalm 34? Right there. Okay, right there. We've got a microphone close to him. There we go.
Psalm 34:4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears.
Thank you, Mr. Robinson. All right. 1 Peter 5. Who has that one? All right, please.
First Peter 5:6-7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you.
God says, fear not. Wow, cast all your cares on him. He cares for you. 1 John 4, who has that one? Okay, Bart, please.
There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love.
Amen. What a beautiful passage. And one more. Allison, we saved you for last. Romans 8, right?
Romans 8, 31 to 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword?
Or Montgomery County,
yeah.
Or an angry neighbor, or a bad rental situation, or dirty dealing with a bond company, or, I mean, you know, none of those things get you out of God's love. God says to us, fear not. It's a bedrock belief. Okay, let's go to another one. So then we finally sell, and we sold for over $8 million. We moved to Olney, but we're not done yet, right? We're there. God is... Not only are we not done, God is not done with us yet. And so he teaches us to the next bedrock belief, pray without ceasing. Now, I could chastise us a bit here. You know, you kind of change rhythms in a sermon. I could say, not as many of us practice this one as much as we ought to. And that's probably true. Another thing I might do at this moment is say, anybody who hasn't, and most of you haven't yet, ought to make plans to go see this movie called The War Room. Pastor Larry went last night. How many else? I know that Cynthia, right, down here. Listen, I strongly encourage you. Just watch the clip on YouTube and you will be convinced to go. It's absolutely a wonderful word about powerful prayer. And I just want you to hear a few things from the great saints across the ages about prayer. S.D. Gordon said, the greatest thing anyone can do for God and for their fellow man is to pray. Now, it's not the only thing, but it is the chief thing. The great people of the earth today are the people who pray. I do not mean those who talk about prayer. I do not mean those who can explain about prayer, but I mean those who take the time to pray. Wow, what a great word. Here's one from J. Hudson Taylor, one of my heroes, great missionary to Asia. He said, he was talking about how the people struggle to understand. He said it this way, the power of prayer has never even been tried to its full capacity. If we want to see mighty wonders of divine power and grace wrought in the place of weakness, failure, and disappointment, can I get an amen? Because if you didn't hear that, I just said, in the place of weakness, failure, and disappointment, let us answer God's challenge, call upon me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I mean, sometimes you got to give it to the King James. They know how to translate some of those things. That's a kicker. Call upon me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. But you got to call. You got to pray. E.M. Bounds, who was a great writer about prayer, no learning. See, here's where we get confused in the 21st century. We think we could have another seminar about prayer. Okay, here's what he says. No learning can make up for the failure to pray. No earnestness, no other diligence, no study, and no gifts will supply its lack. In other words, nothing else can make up for prayer. Prayer is not something you substitute something else for. You pray. That's how it does. Charles Spurgeon, who was considered by many people to be the greatest preacher of his century, here's what he said. I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. That's a great word. That's a great word. Well, let's go to one more, our last one for today. Because as we finished our time in Olney, and all these things kind of, you know, came upon us, and we had all these options we were wrestling with. What do? We saw another door close for a merger option. We saw buying the school there. That option fell through. We just couldn't seem to find out what it was going to be. And so then God gave us another word, and it's the one I preached on a couple of weeks ago down the hall, Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, the last bedrock belief that I'm going to give you today, simply this part of it. Be strong and courageous. The Lord will be with you wherever you go. Does wherever include Wheaton? Does wherever include Olney? Does wherever include Gaithersburg? Yes. God says, I'll be with you wherever you go. Trust me to lead. Psalm 23, the Lord is our shepherd. We can trust him to lead. Now, when we moved here from Olney, trust me, nobody's more aware than I am. It was a challenging change. It was a short notice change. We didn't have much time to clear out of the other place. We have been blessed because we've been so warmly welcomed by the people of First Baptist Gaithersburg. It's a shock to take in another whole church into your building, and they've done it very graciously. And I want to say, just compliment our MET team, our part of the MET team, before they give their report and business meeting. I think the discussions have been going exceedingly well, and a part of that is because of how hard they have worked. Now, I want to sum up under this last one, being strong and courageous, a little bit of the story, because you see, some of us are tempted to think, well, but Pastor, when we left Wheaton, you promised us we were going to build in Olney. No, that wasn't what I promised you. What we've always promised each other was that we're going to follow wherever the Lord led us to go. Well, we might be tempted to think then that God has failed us because we went to Olney to do a certain thing and it didn't happen there. Maybe we're tempted to think the pastor failed us. Maybe we think the leadership teams, the elders, the start team, whoever failed us. I don't think so. Friends, I believe the Bible teaches us this. God always has a purpose for where he's leading you and what he's taking you through. And I'm going to tell the story of a person in this room, and I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm not going to call your name, so don't panic. But see, those of us who've been here from the beginning, we think, well, we went in Wheaton and things didn't go well. We lost the parking, it was a struggle. And then we moved, and then things didn't go well, and it was a struggle. And we had to go to Olney, and then we had to come together. And it's always this thing of a sense of, you know, we didn't get to go where we thought we were going. But this friend came into my office a few weeks ago and said, you know, can I just say something to you? You know, when I visited your church when you all were down in Wheaton, and it was a little too far for me to go. And I kind of needed a church, but it really, I just couldn't do that. And then you moved to Olney, and it was a lot closer. And I started coming, like, you know, averaging once a month, maybe even twice on occasion. And now you're in Gaithersburg, and you're about a couple miles from my house. I feel like God is pursuing me. You see, I say that, church family, because you never know what God's got in store. You know, we come to Gaithersburg, and some point God uses this church to reach the man who's going to be the next Billy Graham or the next woman who's going to be Billarina Graham. I don't know. But you don't know what God has in store. But we know that if we are strong and courageous, the Lord will be with you. He'll guide us wherever we go. We can trust him. So as a close today, to be strong and courageous, 2 minutes. Want 2 minutes of another song, same group. And by the way, this guy's a darn good singer. The only guy I'd rather hear more is Jason or Peter. But it's another song from Third Day. And I want you to hear the words, and some of you know this song well. It goes like this. Even though the journey's long and the road is hard, you see. But the lesson I've learned is that you got to go through the valley to stand on the mountain. So we're going to play a quick clip. By the way, we're really grateful to this guy who put this together.
The thought that I was all alone, broken and afraid, but you were there with me. Yes, you were there with me. Well, and I didn't even know that I had lost my way, but you were there with me. Yes, you were there with me. Until you opened up my eyes, I never knew that I could never make it without you. And even though the journey is long, and I know the road is hard, well, the one who's gone before me, you will help me carry on. And after all that I've been through, well, now I realize the truth that I must go through.
And all God's people said, amen. That's what it is. All right. So be strong and courageous. Thank you, Lord, that you are right here with us, leading us. Let's pray together. God, thank you. Thank you for being so faithful, for continuing to show us that our bedrock beliefs, based on a walk with you, can give us courage, can help us speak peace and life to one another, can help us even when the journey's long and even when the road is hard. So we just pray that in the rest of our time today, especially as a church family, as we lunch together and enjoy your goodness to us and your provision, as we do the business of the church together, as we celebrate your faithfulness over this past year, and as we contemplate options and alternatives and your leadership in our church's life, help us to always be strong and courageous, to pray without ceasing, to trust the power of prayer, to remember to fear not, and to always remember that we are yours, the sons and daughters of the living God. And we pray this in the name of our living Lord, Jesus Christ. All God's people agreed and said, amen.